Welcome back to The Bald and the Beautiful with me, Katya, and Trixie Mattel. Unfortunately, Trixie has died. So we have a special, a very special guest today, the incomparable, the legendary actress, entertainer, drag queen extraordinaire, Kelly Mantel.
Well, I tried my best to look just like her corpse, just in case, you know.
Yeah, you've got about 40 pounds to put on, honey.
Oh!
You're a legend, and you are currently featured as the riveting, scene-stealing co-star in Trixie and Katya Live. Thank you so much for joining us.
My favorite gig ever.
It is genuinely a delight to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
If you had to recast Sandy... Like, if you had to have an understudy that you could pick anybody in the world, from Porkchop to Jodie Foster, but if you had to choose Sandy's understudy, who would it be?
Joan Rivers.
Perfect.
Joan Rivers. I would bring her back from the dead, and I would not let her be the understudy. I would just give it to her.
Yeah.
Because you all would probably prefer that, actually. Joan over Kelly Mantel, sure. Yeah.
But
I kind of based the character a little bit on, I mean, because I fucking, oh, Joan
she's
Rivers.
She's so funny.
Jesus Christ.
She has a bit where she's like, on all of her late night bits with David Letterman are so funny, and she said in one show, like, she shows him how to, like, talk regularly and then how to talk sexy, and it's all in the tongue, and she's like she said Michelle Pfeiffer taught her that in the 90s. It's so funny,
and you know that's a lie.
Of course,
I know.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer,
like, sitting at home going I didn't teach you yeah. that.
We started this podcast beauty focused, and then now we just talk about air conditioning.
Y'all started this beauty focused?
Yeah, well, The Bald and the Beautiful is supposed to be about like makeup and beauty, and like,
so cool.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I think it lasted maybe half of an episode, and then we just complain about air conditioning and retell the same stories about sex and whatever. My window in drag, my window of freshness is shrinking.
So is mine.
Six hours to me. I was like, ooh, I think I have about 3 hours of a fresh window in drag for music, especially like music videos. You said you had hair, like a wind machine in your face the whole time.
I'm doing this for a friend, but yeah, I don't do the whole fierce thing well. That's why I've kind of turned to just playing like these really like, you know, cis women that are just kind of like on the outskirts of like insanity
at this point. You know? That's how I see myself in drag. Yeah. I don't see myself as like a fierce drag
it's
diva.
Too much work, too much responsibility. I can't do all that.
It's
you
way
know?
Too
it's
much
way
responsibility.
Too much. I can't cinch and do, yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, I am currently trying to figure out a way to like widen my hip pad so that I can, that I don't have to cinch so much because even at like, I'm not fat at all.
You and have I'm, an awesome I'm, body,
I,
are you kidding?
I'm quite thin, but when I put the drag on, it all of a sudden, like I'll turn to the side and I just see with the hot dog legs, and it's like you get no. You just get pummeled by the unreasonable expectations of womanhood. That's why I just prefer to be like regular woman number three.
Regular woman number three, but you are hardly regular woman number three. Your body is like architecture. It's
like
so
the Giza
chiseled.
Pyramids.
Yeah, no, it really
the Great
you know,
Wall
and
of China.
It, it fits,
like the Colosseum.
It fits Katya because it's just so you know. Like I want to see you in like one of those like those what are those muscles.
Men's fitness,
but not the women's.
Oh,
yeah, where you're all
magazine.
Like orange tanned and like
fitness competition.
Yes,
do you know they wear the?
I want to see that.
Oh, those get fierce. They wear the clear lucite heels often in those fitness competitions.
The pleasers.
Yeah, they do actually wear like the ones that Trixie wears. Actually, a little bit higher heel than she wears. I would love to be a female bodybuilder.
Oh my god, that would be fucking amazing.
Like to get breast implants, but then have pecs underneath them built up so much that they just look like.
I don't even
both.
Think they have breasts anymore, do they? Most of those women just have pecs.
A lot of them do get implants, but there's
it's
a whole range. There's a whole range. Oh yeah, it's very blurry.
Very detox.
Very blurry. Very blurry. Have you ever played sports? Seeing that you are the niece of, this is a great segue, right? What sports do you play?
Have you ever played sports?
You ever seen a gladiator just, movies?
I'll tell you, I put a wide end, a corner receiver, just in the ball. No, I never played sports. I did actually. It was horrible because my daddy was the high school football coach on top of my uncle being Mickey Mantle.
But don't gloss over that. I thought that was like a not true fact. I thought it was like way too crazy to be true. What, for the longest time, that I was like, oh, Mickey, it's like, oh, she's Mickey Mantle's daughter or niece or whatever. It's like, you are.
I really
am. You actually are.
Yeah.
Mickey
Mantle. He was
my
daddy's big brother, yeah.
If you're over 30 and you know what a baseball card is, Mickey Mantle is like,
Mickey Mantle.
I know who Mickey Mantle is.
Mickey Mantle. He's actually really hot.
Really?
I don't know if it's okay for me to say that or not, but he's actually super hot.
You can't say that.
He was my dad's big brother. They grew up in Oklahoma. He played for the New York Yankees. The crazy thing is, he's like this American icon. He's like mentioned up there with like Uncle Sam and Apple Pie and Jesus Christ.
In New York City.
Crazy.
Yeah, Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like him, I was a switch hitter too.
Of course. Yeah. First string. Huge batting average.
Huge batting average.
Timeless home runs.
Well, you know. And it's a shortstop.
Do you know anything? I have no idea. Do you know anything?
No. And that was the thing. Is growing up in Oklahoma, my older brother was this big all-star athlete. And so everyone would always believe him when he'd say, I'm, you know, related to Mickey Mantle. But whenever I would say it, they'd be like, what was his batting average in 1916? And I'm I don't fucking know.
But you know he smelled like shit because he's your uncle.
I hope he did.
Personal details.
You know,
what was he like?
He was he was amazing. He was
really?
He was a drinker, a big drinker. Yeah, real big drinker. Real big drinker and womanizer. I really liked him though. I really did. I loved going places with him because it was always just mayhem, you know. It was just like people just like, you know.
That's
kind of like you and Trixie. Yeah, it was just people just
huge,
swarming,
yeah.
The malls and
they
stuff.
They want the trading our cards. I mean, we are like little, actually, drag racers kind of are like kind of like athletes in a way, like famous athletes.
Yeah.
Because famous to people who know, but not at all to people who don't.
Exactly.
But
that.
Very famous to people who know.
Yeah.
And then like you have your MVPs and all that, Hall of Famers and stuff.
I always love imagining in my mind, like, you know, the like NASCAR guys that's like Googling Drag Race, you know, because Drag Race is a sport. And then like seeing like Katya and Trixie and
I know, they're
Bianca
like, this is the future that liberals wanted. Yeah, yeah. Well, I actually, before Drag Race started, I was in college and I thought it would be really, I was going to do like, I was like so like artsy. I wanted to do like a whole day long durational performance piece where people were in drag on a field and they were getting dragged.
Oh yeah.
By like other people just like really slowly and call it Drag Race.
Wait, would one of the drag queens be dragging the other one?
Yeah.
Like yes.
They would just, but slowly, like
how come
incrementally.
I just had a flash of like Ginger Minj just pulling someone.
Sweating. Like a tractor.
Yeah.
And then just like, just unconscious drag queens in full like pageant drag, just getting
and
dragged
they just have
along the
handheld
field.
Fans.
Yeah,
just
I thought it'd be great. It would be just as exciting as how Drag Race is now. Do you still watch the show?
Sometimes. Do you?
Not really.
No.
I
can't keep up. I'm trying to keep up.
There's so many.
Yeah. I mean, and this last season was like, I mean, what, 28 episodes long or something like that. I mean, when they said, yeah, we're going to give them $150,000, I said, yeah, throw in the extra $50,000 for them.
They finally upped it.
But I mean, you know, they were on TV longer than our first leg of our tour was. I mean,
no,
you know.
Shit.
Yes.
It is crazy. Now, I'm thinking like, I remember being on the show from, like, you do a episode in usually 2 days. And, like, it is, I made it almost to the end, except for maybe an episode or two. And that felt like forever.
Yeah.
I can't imagine these girls being on there for that long.
I know.
That's inexpensive.
Oh, honey, I can't imagine being on more than one episode.
There you go.
Some people are in it to win it. I'm in it for a minute. Thank you.
That's better than two or three.
Well, it really is.
I think so.
It really is because, you know, people always remember the winner and the person who went home first.
Yes,
you know, so,
exactly.
I mean, at least you're memorable.
Beginning and end. And then you have the added benefit of mystique.
Yeah.
You know, like, what could have happened? You know what I mean?
I am from Chicago. Okay, Misty.
I have to ask you, would you ever go back?
You mean to like an All-Stars or like an early out All-Stars?
Any other iteration of the show. Like they do all types of competitions now.
Only if they promise to send me home first again.
Oh, that's fierce.
Girl, I want to go home first on a first out season.
Double first. Double. That's like, you can't get more number one than that.
You cannot get, I will overrain Pork Chop at that point. Go home first on a first out season. And then that's my,
Your whole, there's a mama. I did it first.
I did it first. I went home first on a first out season.
That is literally number one. It's not like, you don't want to like be the last hag standing.
Girl,
you want to be the freshest one to cut.
Too much responsibility for me. I cannot, I don't even have that many outfits.
No. That's the stress of that.
I just don't even know what I do.
The stress of, I think about like going back, I get
caught.
Would
you go back?
No, because
No.
Not to compete, because it's just like I get stuck around the time and preparation of what you have to bring.
Well, is it weird to say, because I am not a competitive person at
all. Me neither.
And you know, that's such a weird thing to say for someone who went on.
Not really.
I forgot it was that. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it makes 100%.
I got there, I completely forgot I was supposed to be competing.
Yeah.
Like, I got so in my head that I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is a competition. And when we're standing on the runway and you're being, you know, like, you get to stay and sashay away.
Right.
I was like, oh, I forgot about this part.
No. I completely relate. I did the whole time too, because I wasn't competitive at like my drag gigs or, you know, in the dressing room, or I was never involved in like fights, or like it was never adversarial in any way.
No.
It was just like all just a bunch of whores trying to make money.
Exactly.
You know, and,
you know, and to party and to like drink and have a good time and like, like all of it. And pick up hot boys afterwards.
And blow them in the dressing room.
Fuck
yeah.
Or in the alley.
You know, have you ever... Actually, I think that's what's maybe missing from Drag Race. Is not, I don't want to see a drag queen. I'm blowing them in the alley.
Blowing boys in the alley.
Well, yeah, the spirit of that.
I will go back on if that's a challenge, because I will win that challenge.
I knew. So there was a show in Boston. This was long before I was on Drag Race. We went afterwards to a bar, and there was this trans woman who was so, I mean, she was an Ivy League educated. I think she was a professor. And
ooh.
But she was she ran a little late. She came in and joined us because she was blowing
Jorgensen.
A man in an alley.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, that. And she's not no gutter slut or whatever, you know, which is fine too. But she was like, it was. And she wasn't even a showgirl, but she was like a part of this like cast of just very colorful characters, and who all had like drag at the center of their like, you know, their group. And it was just like that kind of edge, I feel like, is what is missing from Drag Race. It's very like, you know, it's very like wholesome.
It's become very,
I mean, there's fisting jokes, but still, but which is good. But like, you know, it's like, it's all about healing. Drag is a healing tool.
Yeah.
Heal the world through drag.
Yeah.
Which is strange, because for me, drag hurts.
Well, it's painful, you know. I mean, it's kind of become this, I don't know, this segue into discussing mental health and stuff, you know, and I embrace my mental health, you know, and I mean, that's one of the reasons why I probably became a drag queen, was because of my mental health issues, you know, so it's like, I'm totally, I mean, I'm a full-on gutter slut, so I'm not very mainstream. I've always enjoyed being on the outskirts of the mainstream, and so that's why going home first for me was such a, I don't know. It was hilarious. It was so perfect.
You were actually one of the few queens who actually has like talent, you know. You know what I mean? Like I mean, a lot of times drag is itself a talent. Like, you know, the makeup, the hair, all this stuff.
Yeah.
But you were like an actor. You're a singer.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it, you know, because I had confidence going into it that, you know, I would slay the acting challenges and the music challenges and stand-up comedy and roasting and Snatch Game and all that stuff. But what I can't do is, I'm not a good fashion queen, and I'm not a good runway model, and I can't sew. And so, you know, you put those elements together and I kind of, you know, it's one of those things where it's like when they say, you know, hey, can you know when you go to an audition, can you, you know, do a Russian accent?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. And then you go home and you're like, Google how to fucking do a Russian accent. So you just figure it out real quick.
Right.
So it was kind of the same thing. I was like, sure, I can sew. I can do all this. No problem.
Yeah.
Well, obviously it was a huge problem.
Yeah.
But that's not reflective of all of the other talents that a person possesses if
right.
you can't, you know. So, yeah, it was... But that's what I mean, though, is to me it was... I live for that kind of surreal, I don't know, out of skirts, out of the mainstream experience like that, you know. I kind of live for that.
I do, too. Talking about a surreal out of experience, I've recently... I guess I've seen it before, but we watched it again 3 times. A clip of you. What the fuck is it? What is it from? It's the court when you storm into a courtroom and then murder.
Oh, Eagle Heart.
Eagle Heart.
Yes.
What the fuck? What is
oh
that?
My
what?
God.
So it's on. It's from an acting reel.
I think you can see it on my Instagram.
Yes,
I think
and
I
we can see it on your
Instagram.
Website
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to kellymantle.com. I think you can see it, right?
Yeah.
It is. So incredible. When you say, when he, what are you?
Yeah.
And you say, the last thing you see before you get completely assassinated.
Completely assassinated. Not just like
not partially
assassinated, but completely assassinated.
Completely
assassinated.
Totally irrevocably assassinated.
Assassinated. Yeah, for even questioning my gender.
I don't even know what, it's like, David, it's very Lynchian.
Oh my God.
It's very
one
Lynchian.
One of my favorite filmmakers ever, Wild at Heart, it's like my favorite movie in the whole world.
That character, that whole scene is straight out of a David Lynch movie. What was that? What is it?
It's
a TV show.
It's from Swim, the adult Cartoon Network, remember Swim? And they had like General Hospital, they had all these amazing shows, and Eagle Heart was one of the shows that wasn't an animated show. And, I was actually, I had never heard of it before I went to audition for it. But then when I went to audition for it, I saw some episodes of it and I fell in love with it immediately. And so
is
when
it a
I
comedy?
Got it. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
full
okay.
on comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely absurd. Like talk about absurdist, surreal
okay.
theater. Yeah. Like completely absurd. And my character was this gender non-binary. And this was even kind of before the whole non-binary term came into existence.
Yeah. When how long ago was it?
It was like. A couple of years probably before all of that happened, you know? But I've always lived in that for me, you know, even like way pre-Drag
sure.
Race, you know, I've always kind of existed under the trans umbrella and one of my, you know, I always used to call myself a genderbender. And so for me to get this role, I was like, oh, this is so cool because, you know, I've always felt kind of middle of the line, you know, kind of in that gray area. And so, you know, go sit in the men's section, the women's section. I mean, that had been the story my whole life, you
oh
know.
Oh, God.
And so I've always wanted to kind of blow someone up, you know.
You pull
for
out
even
an
asking
Uzi.
That. Yes. And then the best part, which you don't see in that clip, later in the episode, I get blown up.
No.
Yes, because I try to like storm the security and everything, trying to leave the courthouse, and then I get blown up. And so that was like one of my favorite acting gigs ever because they put all these wires on you.
No
and
way.
You literally have one shot at it. Like it's one take because, you know, the blood has to come out and your costume is ruined at that point.
Oh,
so you literally
right.
have
There's
like
no
one
resetting.
Shot.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is so cool. I felt like, you know, Tamelia Cruz or something, you know, just like running through the thing. Just like,
it is the face. You just, it's the ultra deadpan and the delivery is so perfect. Like, they, you know, they're like, you go to the men's, there's the men's hue or the women's hue. And it, I feel my constitutional right.
To right.
And
it's, yes.
And then when he lets you go through the without patting you down, you just, the death stare. It's so insane.
And isn't that like, I mean, and all of us that kind of identify as they, them can certainly relate to that at any TSA moment. I just went through the TSA just this weekend in Indianapolis and had to go through a whole like, what are your pronouns and who do you prefer? You know, and it was
really,
yeah.
And how did that play out? Are they sensitive
well, actually,
or diplomatic?
Yeah, they really were. They were really great about it in Indianapolis. I have to say I was kind of pleasantly surprised more so than other places like LAX or... You know, New York, where you would expect them to be, and they're not. So,
no, they just hurl. They just throw rocks at you, no matter what your gender is.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm assuming, or I would assume that the TSA has pretty like extensive protocols these days on how to sensitively.
You would hope.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just seems like a bureaucratic nightmare, that whole thing. It is so, that was a bombing.
Fun gig. That was so fucking fun.
That is like a dream gig.
Oh my God.
How long were you like there? Was it one day?
No, it was like a whole week.
A whole week.
Oh, and then the greatest thing was then they went off, I don't know if it was that season or I think it was like the season after that. Well, it's not the greatest thing, but their show ended. They had all their guest stars from every single episode come back to shoot a finale. So we were all sitting in the audience. Oh yeah, it was fucking amazing. I was like, this show is so cool.
I have to go. I'm going to go look. I'm going to go watch this fucking show.
Go binge watch Eagle Heart. I think it's available on streaming services. Yeah.
All the OnlyFans that these cable companies have. Like, whatever.
It's so cool.
What has been your your favorite and your least favorite acting gigs?
My favorite and my least favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You mean like TV and film or theater? Because
TV and film.
TV and film. Well, I have to say Sheila.
Sheila is
my favorite. So, I mean, Eagle Heart, definitely. Yeah. But Sheila from
the Browns is like, that's why we wanted you so badly to do our show, our live show, because it's just so funny.
I love that. Thank you. Funny. Yeah, I love Sheila. And I love, I mean, obviously working with Tammy, you know, and Sean Mark are fucking incredible. And Paige and everyone involved with it. But yeah, I love Sheila.
She's
like my hero because she can say anything and totally get away with it. It doesn't even fucking matter. So,
but there's a fucking line. It's like, she leaves her, and sometimes her Invisalign gets stuck in my vagina. There's like all these like little things. Like there's all these little fun. I mean, she's hysterical.
And see, that's the great thing is the reason I love doing the Browns is we kind of do it like a Christopher Guest movie. Everything is or Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was another great gig. I got to work with Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Serious?
Yes. Oh my God.
Wait,
it was incredible.
When?
Oh my gosh. It was, I don't even remember what season it was, but yeah, I was, standing in line for the bathroom with Larry David, and literally, I mean, the audition, when I got to the audition, there's no sides. They give you a piece of paper and it says you're standing in line waiting for the bathroom with Larry David, and then they call you into the audition. Larry is there. I was like, okay, expecting this.
Holy,
and then you have
shit.
To improvise. And then everything you did at the audition, leave that alone because you're going to improvise again the day on the set. Oh, it was incredible. I was like, this
is insane. Do you love
insane.
Improvising?
Oh my God, my favorite.
Okay.
It's my favorite thing to do. I mean, I love improvising and I'm a writer. I'm a writer at heart. Like,
I was going to say,
the
acting and writing, two very different skills.
Very different, a script. I love taking ideas and I love working with people that are open to someone coming in and kind of just, you know, and like, yeah, that's what we do with the Browns is that John Mark will come up with like a skeleton of the scene and say, okay, well, this is going to happen. And then we get to improvise.
Interpret it, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I'll come up with ideas like, oh, this would be a great line here or there, you know, and that's where like the Invisalign came in, you know, is... Sheila talking about her lesbian lover, Mercy, you know, when Tammy first finds out about her, she's like, well, I see her with a woman. And I said, she's very nice, even though her Invisalign gets stuck in my vagina from time to time, you know. You know, and those little things will come to you when you're
the spirit moves
this. Yeah. And you're like, well, I need to add that to the script.
So Larry David, wait, you don't remember what, we'll look it up later. Because I recently watched all of Curb.
Yeah.
And, I'm experiencing some pretty significant memory loss as of late, though, which is concerning. I don't know. I mean, I forget things all the time, so it's not surprising that I can't remember. But he was nice.
Oh my God, amazing!
Really,
amazing. So warm, so welcoming. Everyone on that set was, you know.
I'm obsessed with Susie Essman, who plays Susie Green.
Oh
she
yeah,
all just hurl f bombs at everybody.
F-bombs. I know.
I'm obsessed. She's
the whole
so
thing.
Fucking
is it
funny.
Still on?
Yes, it's it. Well, it's
just getting ready to start. I read somewhere where it was either it was still on or something.
I think they just did their 11th season.
Yeah.
And recently, I've watched every episode. Like it's
so good.
Yeah, it's so good. It's oh my God.
No, that is like that's my first love is improv and writing and stuff. I mean, I studied at Second City in Chicago, and that's why I just I live for that. Like, and we too. I mean, in Trixie and Katya Live, I mean, the three of us on stage every night.
I mean, between me not remembering a single line,
it.
And
it's
then you know,
fucking hilarious. It's one of when people ask, like, what's your favorite part of the show? Of course, I love doing Rose's turn, but it's honestly when the three of us just lose it and just go off into these, like, tangents.
I have to try to be so, like, we have all of, I love your scenes because they're all so, like, when the three of us are together, that's the most anybody's ever interacting with, like, dialogue-wise on, you know, mostly yeah. it's either one, two, or three, and it's rarely three. And so when we're all there, there's, like, and there's a moment when you're in your first scene where, like, you guys are having a thing and I'm kind of off to the side and I feel left out. So, you know, so I'm like, hi, I want to act too. It's just like, I don't know.
I think Trixie said that one night. She's like, Katya needs to feel included.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, I love how you two are just constantly like,
but you're right. I mean, I agree with you. The funnest thing about that show is, like, the mistakes. But I have to stay conscious of, like, the mistakes are only mistakes if you do something good. Like, do you know what I mean? You have to, like, perform something in order to make, correctly, in order to make a mistake.
In order to make the mistake.
Yeah. There has to be some contrast. But yeah, it is so fun.
I mean, what you
fun.
All have come up with, I mean, this is a theatric experience.
It's
for
wild.
For those of you who have seen it, know, and for those of you who are going to see it, you have no idea what you're in tune for.
Yeah. And I think it's like, we've gotten, like, really great feedback. I expected for this, like, a fair amount of, like, hate or criticism just because we tend to be popular. And anybody who's popular, like, you know, you get that pushback. You're like, oh, they're overrated, whatever, whatever. And that's, like, all that stuff happens.
Isn't that crazy?
Like,
I know.
No, I don't think it's, I totally get it. Yeah. I mean, because I'll look at, like, someone, a popular pop star, and be like, ugh.
Well, that's true.
You know, you think about it, like, oh, they actually not that talented, but who cares?
Right.
But we have gotten great. Like, I'm actually concerned about doing a really good show, mm-hmm. and I think the show is entertaining.
That's what I mean. Literally, you all are. I've said this a million times, but I think Trixie and Katya are like the Beatles of drag. I mean, your fans are fucking amazing. Their energy and
Nick, our merch guy. He said almost every night when I would get on the bus and see him, he was like, he could not believe how nice all the customers at the merch line were. And
they're,
he says,
so
everyone.
Cool.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Like, from the very first one to the very last one at that very end of the line at the end of the night was so polite, so nice, and, like, it was
so
patient.
Cool.
That's, like, so rare.
No, it really is.
That's
but,
so
I mean,
rare.
You're both of your energies, you know, are going to gravitate toward people like that. But that's what I mean, is that you all could literally go out on stage and read the Farmer's Almanac. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what
that
is.
That's what we're going to do on the second leg.
Yes, well, I hope so. I mean, I would only hope that you would read the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah.
And they would scream for 2 hours. So the fact that you all have created this amazing theatric experience is just, like, kudos
well,
to y'all.
It helps when the bar is set in the very low, like in the basement, because then all you got to do is bring it up to the ground floor.
What does Sandy say? I don't even remember Sandy's voice. How did Sandy sound?
Ow!
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to look like two. I'm going to bring you out of the basement. There she is. There oh my God, I had to find her. I completely lost
Cheryl
dancing.
Canning.
Cheryl Canning.
I can't do it. I can't.
She's Cheryl Canning.
It's like, ow.
I completely lost her.
Victorian boys with typhoid look more power or whatever. I can't remember.
She's on vacation.
Yeah. She's like, but there's a. It's funny because, like, I was also afraid that the show would get, like, with a scripted show, I was like, oh my God, every night's gonna get so dull. And but mm-mm. I kind of, like, I didn't have to trick myself much into making it fresh because it was always received pretty well, but it always felt kind of, like, fresh.
Yeah.
It never felt really dull. And it moved so quick. Like,
it moved so fast.
So
the tour
fast.
Moved so fast. I mean, I thought, you know, like, oh my God, we're on, like, show 7. And they're like, no, you're on show, like, 20.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, how did that even happen? And yeah, every night was different.
Yeah.
Every night was different.
Well, sometimes we had a carpet for stage.
Oh my God, where was that?
LA.
Oh my
the
God.
Theater
I
at
hate
the Ace
that
Hotel.
Theater. Can someone please, I'm sorry. I have to say it.
Say it.
I hate that theater.
I do too.
I hate the Ace fucking theater. And can I tell you, that was the place where we held our reunion for season 6, and it just brings back nightmares for me.
I think we were there too as well. No.
And then didn't it flood downstairs? Oh my God, you and I were right next door to each other and we got flooded out of our dressing rooms.
Oh, how about this? How about this? I noticed some water, like a lot of water, rushing through the door of my shitty dressing room.
Girl, it
and
was
then
like
it
the
was
Titanic.
Shitty water. It
Ew.
Was sewage. It was like.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I stayed in my dressing room.
You were knee deep in shitty sewage
Ew.
Water.
Well, it didn't come into my dressing room.
Oh no,
room,
it came
God.
Into mine, and I like oh. we opened the door, and it's the hallway's flooded, and I was like, work.
I know. I saw Eden in the hallway, and Eden was literally like, girl, like that's all she said. I was like, this is a fucking
nightmare. We got carpet.
Nightmare.
We got shitty water. What else? That and although we did, I did get to meet Lisa Vanderpump that night.
Well, yes, I did too. Yeah. And I fucking with her dog. I love that she brings her dog to the
her
theater.
Her dog is a diva. It's so cute.
Oh my god.
But she was astonishingly gorgeous.
Oh my god, astonishingly
she was
gorgeous.
Really breathtaking.
I mean, I had met her once. Actually, I met her once before at who was the one that was married to the plastic surgeon. Anyway, she had a party in Coco Peru, and I went to it together, and I met Lisa at that. And I remember thinking that night, your cleavage is so fucking great. And then I remember at the show there at LA.
And she's in her 60s. If she's whatever yank she's had is so
girl,
so well done.
So
and she does her own hair and makeup.
Does she?
Yeah. Her makeup was beautiful. I mean, she looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And she was very
gorgeous.
Funny and cool.
Oh my gosh.
Very
so,
funny and cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
I love that her and Tracy are like BFFs. I mean, it's like
I know.
Makes perfect
and actual
sense.
Friends yeah. too. Not just like, here's my billionaire friend.
No,
just
because
totally. She's rich or whatever.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
At the Met Gala last night, I saw an interview with Gwen Stefani. She did her own makeup because her makeup artist at the last minute had
died.
An emergency
oh,
come
no.
out. Died. Her makeup artist died at the last moment. And
that's
she still
Sandy.
Showed up in neon green, sporting a wonderful makeup job.
Sandy's got to do red carpet commentary.
Yes, girl.
Oh, my
or like
God.
Joan Rivers.
Yeah, like Joan Rivers. Yeah. Oh, you look awful.
You
Good
look horrible. What are you wearing? You look like a dirty tampon.
I got full of evil in here in the studio last night when we were on Twitter looking at
the
Met Gala. Yeah,
what was it? Gilded glamour.
Gilded glamour,
darling. I don't even know gilded, what the fuck that means.
Well, like I, the Gilded Age, and I was so I expect everybody to show up from like. Have you seen the Gilded Age? The HBO show?
No, I haven't. No,
oh,
but I did
insane.
Google what it all meant,
yeah.
So I understand it now.
But it's crazy. They all. It was just a dog show, and I get so, and people get so unreasonably upset about fashion,
I know.
Love because they get furious
yes,
and
furious.
Like, vile.
No, I know.
I love that.
I know.
Like, she's awful. She looks like shit.
Just
she's
horrible.
Disgusting. She
yes.
should die.
So, trust me, I know. When I wore that bacon dress, I got
which,
death
threats. Which, by the way,
yes.
is kind of cute. Like,
well,
it's not
I mean, but
ugly.
I'm telling you,
it's
people
cute.
Get passionate about that
oh,
shit.
Oh, they need to get a life.
I'm serious. They're like, you're gonna, I'm gonna
but
fucking
you
kill you.
Good. Like, you'd actually looked cute. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It was no Amy Schumer at the Met Gala. Who, someone on Twitter said that she looked like someone who was rescued from a gas leak.
Who, Amy Schumer?
She's wearing, like, a coat dress that was, like, asymmetric and off the shoulder kind of, and like a tuxedo coat dress with like with black sunglasses, and that's it.
And
she looked so awkward and so uncomfortable and so bizarrely
why
out of place.
Why is she even there?
Well, that's the thing.
Why is she even there? She's a comedian. If you are going to show up to the Met Gala as a comedian, then you
famously
make fun of
unglamorous.
It.
You know yeah. what I mean? Like that's her. Like
that's
your
exactly.
image. Not
yeah.
glamorous. No lips. Like her mouth is in like. Being sucked into her face rather than the Hollywood
I just want to wear like a Cristiano Ronaldo Valentino gown.
Is a soccer player.
I don't know. Is that a designer? Cristiano Ronaldo Valentino, honey. And I just want to crawl across the carpet and just eat Cheetos, you know? Like, I'm like, oh my God. Anna Wintour would hate me. She'd throw me out in a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I want to do at the Met Gala.
Everybody looked like shit.
Well,
everybody looked
it.
Like
they
shit.
They deserve it for even yeah. trying to show up and not look like shit. You know, I mean, I loved my Twitter feed. It was literally like, you know, Met Gala, Kim Kardashian wearing Marilyn Monroe,
yeah.
and then they're taking abortion
yeah.
away. I mean, it's just like, I can't.
I know.
It's too much.
It's always like, oh, this is the perfect smokescreen. Get people riled
yes.
up about fashion to realize
exactly.
that they're taking
that's
women's
rights
away.
That's when they're going to go in and just strip Roe versus yeah. Wade, right? Yeah. from under
we'll,
you.
We won't have stopped screaming about the Kardashians to realize that you can't get an abortion anymore.
You can't get an abortion anymore.
Oh my God.
And then what did Kylie showed up in a wedding dress with a
baseball
cap and
yeah.
a veil, a backwards
yeah.
baseball
yeah.
cap and a veil.
Rotten.
I mean, it makes
horrible.
Perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
You know?
All of them looked rotten. And then they
rotten.
And then one of the stupid, like, you know, I don't know, one of the celebrity like E! Network or whatever, their Twitter, their social media person used the term Keet to refer to, like, you know, Brangelina. like a combination of Pete and Kim.
Oh.
I think they should just call them Pimberly.
Pimberly, I like that.
Pimberly, what is it? Pimberly David Dashian? Yeah, Pimberly Card Davidson.
Pimberly Card Davidson.
It's longer.
That's a great drag name,
yeah,
actually.
Pimberly Card Davidson of the Philadelphia Card
Davidson. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
And then, what? Yeah, Billy Eyelash's full name is William Jefferson Rutherford Eyelash.
Yes, I love Billy Eyelash.
She looked a mess.
She always looks a mess.
No, she does. She frequently looks cool.
Does she?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. But she looked a mess on the... And she hadn't taken... It looks like she was just doing her first pass at posing in the bedroom mirror, like practicing. Because she was like doing this weird, crazy, like...
I hope she has hairy armpits. I need Billie Eilish to have airy armpits.
What's your stance?
Airy armpits right now.
Oh, you do? See, I don't. And I'm,
you don't.
I'm very... I'm...
I mean, when I say hairy, I haven't shaved them in like 2 days, so it's just a little stubble. But you know,
Do you get perturbed when you see a woman like a glamorous?
No, I love it.
You do.
Okay. Oh my god, I grew up idolizing Ani DeFranco. I mean, like, okay. Yeah, she hairy armpits, combat boots.
It can be very
Sinead O'Connor.
Divisive.
Oh, I love it. Lourdes, have you seen Lourdes?
I have in the video for Madonna's Madame X show.
Yes.
In Frozen, she had visibly
hairy armpits. And Madonna used to have hairy armpits.
She
back
did.
In the day, yeah.
I think it's important.
I think it's
and
wonderful.
I hate it though. Because I'm very brainwashed, but I've always been that way. I don't like hairy armpits on guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't like them on anybody.
No.
Because
I don't like hair in general.
No.
No.
From here down, because I grew up reading Anne Rice novels where everybody was hairless and bisexual. That was
everyone's
the ideal.
Everyone's just a vampire.
Yes, they're like,
and they have perfectly porcelain,
stone cold,
smooth skin. They look dead.
Either gray or like luminous, and then had no hair, and then were bisexual. They'd the ideal for me. It still kind of is.
When you do finally die, I think Tootsie's probably going to take your corpse and she's going to scotch tape some pubic hair to your armpit.
That's when I will reanimate
you'll come back to life. And like,
if they bury me like this with hairy armpits, I will never die.
Oh my god, we will totally do that.
No.
Yes.
Oh my god. If you
aren't you dying at 55? It's like what 15 years from now?
Oh, 55. God, that's so long from now.
What does the show say? 55. Yeah, 55.
That's
so long from now. It's 15 years.
No, I know.
You just turned 40. Happy birthday,
thank you
way.
Very much. Yeah, so you've crossed the threshold of 40. Sorry to out you. sorry to out
well,
you.
Well, you're very bold in assuming that I crossed the threshold. How do you know? As my employer. You fucking bitch. Yeah. You better keep your mouth shut.
I've got your
W-2s. You'll die before 40, 55 if you start releasing my W-2s.
I think it's so funny. That's so funny when people get like, when they won't reveal their age.
Oh,
as if it's
up.
Not public
I'm
record.
I'm older than Cher.
Do you know what I mean? No, like, but everybody knows. Like, if you're famous or in the public, public figure, that is usually accessible knowledge. Like, that's an accessible fact, like your birth date.
Yes.
So I think it's really funny when people get all riled up about their actual age.
I do too.
It's so funny.
I would never get riled up about my actual age.
No, I get riled up about whether I look, if I look horrible and someone points it out, they'll be like, I'll get riled up because
the problem is I feel like a 13-year-old girl. And so that's why I have a hard time kind of accepting where I'm really at.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I still think of myself as like a 13-year-old girl.
I don't think of myself really having age because I don't do, I'm...
Well, that's true. I do feel ageless.
I mean,
it's
one of those things like...
It's such a number.
It is such a number. I mean, you can't deny that certain numbers do like come with a certain responsibility and expectation, you know?
Well, yeah.
Like 40, I feel like it's your last chance to be an adult.
This is true. Well, yeah, this is true.
50, you're like, this is your last chance to be alive.
Yeah.
And then 60... Good luck.
I mean, it's this right here that.
Oh, don't give me.
That's the only time I ever think about the number because I'm all like,
started way before 40 for me. The visible.
Well,
like,
it did me
reckoning.
Too. It was all my the drugs I did, and all of the alcohol and everything. Yeah, so that'll do it to you.
But I mean, drag is these kids now. They're starting their sketchbooks. Like, are their faces? So they're like 13, 14 years old experimenting with drag on a, like, I wouldn't say clear because sometimes they have acne, you know, but like young little kid faces.
Yeah.
I never did that. Do you know, like, did you ever do makeup like when you were young?
I still don't. I don't even know how to do makeup. I still don't even know. You know what
I mean? Like, I didn't start drag until I was like 25. Like, performing professionally.
Yeah. And no, I mean, I always tried to do, you know, like, dress up like Boy George.
Okay, sure. Yeah, like, I mean, I did dress up and stuff, too. Yeah.
Like, I used that. Like, I used, like, spray makeup.
Okay.
Where you would just, like, put a spray tan on and call it makeup. Yeah. But no, yeah, I mean, kids today with the makeup and the YouTube and the internet and everything, all I mean, yeah, obviously they're going to be much more advanced.
Well, not all the tools, but they have all, it's much easier. I looked up a picture, and I'm going to show you, of me. When I was, I must have been around 27, and I look like I'm...
Oh my God, can you all show this?
Can you see?
It's the hair though, girl.
It's a lot of things.
Oh my God,
like,
it's the
hair,
Christmas
the garage
ornament.
Door. Yeah. It's the garage doors. It's the
garage doors.
It's the thin villainous lips.
How old were you here?
Well, I look about 45. But I'm 27.
You're 27. And isn't that amazing? Because you do look younger in hair
drag
and makeup now than you do there.
It's chilling.
I know. But I noticed that too. I was watching something popped up on TV the other night. I was in years and years and years ago. And I was like, I feel like I look younger now than I did then. I think it's just because we've gotten to know how to do makeup better.
It's just trial and error. And unfortunately, like, the canvas degrades as the skill set.
Yeah.
It, you know, increases.
I mean, I'm kind of on this trajectory where I'm probably destined, but I'm almost at this point determined to just play women that are completely messy and just have lipstick stuck on their teeth all the time. And you don't even want to tell them they do because it's just going to end up back on their teeth.
Exactly.
And that's such a relief because I tried for so long to be hot and sexy and all these things. And I'm like, girl,
who has the time?
Can't even do that.
Who has the time? Yeah. It's so stressful. You think about like those moments in, you know, the moments when like a woman is like breathtakingly beautiful on film or on TV are so stressful, and there's so much going on behind the scenes right up to that point and to get there, and then it's so fraught with tension and stress and like discomfort. You want to be the drunk aunt who falls over and has her pussy out on the floor. Like, that's what you really want, because you can do that take 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. It just keeps getting better.
Yes.
But not the like, that kind of like fragile, gorgeous, perfect beauty. Like, good luck, bitch.
Oh,
leave it to the Violet Chachkis and the
Spames. I mean, I'm really good at doing it in like the bedroom, you know, when the lights are really dim and I have a pillow over my head. But it's like, if I have to do it on camera, I can't do that anymore. It's too much work. I did that Modern Family with Sophia Vergara. And I tell you, just watching her be Sophia Vergara the whole time, it's so much work.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. And so by that point, I just like took a makeup wipe and just did this to my face. And I was like, I just want to look ugly next to her, because what else am I going to do when you're standing next to Sophia Vergara?
She is also, she's married to Joe Manganiello.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the baseball player?
No,
oh,
the actor.
Two
super hot sex pot people. I wonder what their sex is like.
Effortlessly.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of effort that goes into him.
Well,
he's like
true.
Jacked.
That's is he?
Oh, he's a huge
work out a lot.
Like big muscle queen.
I mean, what must that be like to wake up like that every day?
I know, not from firsthand experience, but I know enough hot people to know that they're not satisfied. No, they're not. Like, it's nice to be able, it's like more.
Is that what Trixie tells you?
Yeah, right. Well, as a hot person, no, she's like, I mean, I have a lot of, I look around at like, if I'm out with a group of friends, it's usually porn people. I have this like, the booty, like, like fat assed, like young porn people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how did this happen? Like 6, 7 like porn stars in their late 20s who are very gorgeous with incredible bodies and various amounts of augmentation, some, you know, and they, you know, nobody's any happier because you acclimate.
Totally.
To your mind finds a way to make things crazy or like unsatisfying.
Yeah.
But it is weird. I feel like I'm in the middle. Like, you're not like ugly, but you're not hot. So that is just complicated.
Well, I think you're very hot and Katya is very hot. So I don't
Thank
think,
you.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it's when it becomes an obsession.
I think it always is. All the super, like, objectively super hot people, like, if you put them in a lineup, everybody would more or less think they're hot. they're not any happier.
No. I mean, I know from, I mean, I have like body dysmorphic disorder probably. If I were to be diagnosed, I probably have it, you know, because I'm constantly just focused on every single flaw. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in front of the camera all the time, that's, I mean, that's hard not
to do. So when are you going to fix them?
Well, I just don't, I just, exactly. I, listen, I've tried to fix all of them and they end up becoming worse. Because the universe hates me. So when you go in for a procedure, it's like, oh, you can go right back to work after lunch. I look like Lady Frankenstein, but then it stays that way. It never gets fixed.
I want to get a yank. I think if I live long enough, I'll get a yank.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But why you not? Have to maintain it.
What do you mean? What do you mean maintain it?
Maintain the yank.
Like keep it yanked?
No, I don't know. Like what are you going to do 10 years when it's not yanked no more?
Get it re-yanked. Okay. Get it yanked tighter. I mean, I'm not sure. Plastic surgery is changing so much.
I mean, I want to.
Yeah.
I kind of want
to. Have you had anything done?
No, just other than like Botox and tube. Yeah.
Botox, yeah. I wish the Botox stopped. Usually Botox stops you from sweating. It doesn't do that for me.
It doesn't. Have you done but have you done it where you sweat?
A Botox and Dysport, I get like, I always tell them, fill me up. Like, kill a monkey that much.
Where?
On my forehead.
But that's not going to stop you from sweating.
Don't you have to
get the Botox in your sweat glands to stop you from sweating?
No. It's supposed to, like, wherever you get it under the skin, it's supposed to stop that from sweating.
I didn't know that.
Well, allegedly it does. It certainly doesn't with me. I mean, if it did, I would get it everywhere.
Everywhere. Literally.
But then I guess I would just be totally paralyzed.
I kind of hope you never stop sweating.
I'm never going to.
It's awesome.
Never, never.
My,
I come from a family of prodigious sweaters. Like, I mean, concerning. Like my dad, who turns 68 tomorrow.
Oh, really?
He sweats. Yeah, he is like a karate master. And I talked about this on the last podcast. He's like, we would do training sessions. My dad, my brother, and me all did karate in the same studio. And like 30 guys in a training session that's like 2 to 4 hours long sometimes, there would be like a puddle of rainwater of sweat on the floor of the studio. Like I'm talking people dripping,
that's and crazy.
Dripping, gushing with sweat. And the next day you could see like an accumulation of dried salt from the sweat on the floor. It was so gross. But like, I cannot believe how much I sweat, and my dad sweats even more. It's so gross.
I love it. I think there's a scene in the show where like you put your head like right here for a second, like on the
forward. Wet.
And when I get back, there's always like this big, like, wet. I love it.
A print. It's amazing.
It's
so gross.
It's Katya.
But since the pod, I'll try to keep it brief about the sweating because all we do, me and Trixie, is talk about air conditioning. It's like the HVAC podcast. I need you to corroborate the following claim.
Okay.
There was a show. Fuck, where was it? There was a show in Arizona. The show in Phoenix.
Phoenix.
That was cool.
Oh my God. Not only was it cool, it was like an ice.
It was cold. And on stage, sometimes it's cool in the dressing room. That's a small room.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's cool backstage.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the lights come on and the show starts, the stage becomes an oven.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's sometimes when me and Trixie are just like, sitting there hostage tied, you know, when you're doing your whole karma thing, we are broiling.
Broiling.
Broiling. I look over at her. Her nose is wet, which means I'm soaked. And just sitting there in the spotlight, broiling like rotisserie chickens.
Because you both look so pissed at that point.
Yeah. You're like... And it's just like, you are living with the gold arms and everything.
I'm like, I just sat in front of a fan backstage.
Yeah, I just came
I'm totally, would you like to join me backstage? And you all are like.
Yeah, like I mean, sometimes literally just dripping. And then the worst, you know, it's like getting embarrassed. The thing about when you're conscious of sweating and then self-conscious about it, you just sweat more.
Yeah.
And it just, it's like, it's totally. Horrible. Anyways, but that.
No, you all. And,
don't you think and, that was one show that was adequately
the
AC?
Only, is the that, only was one. Was that the only one?
Yes.
I can say for a fact that I can corroborate that Trixie and Katya keep backstage fucking freak. I don't know how many times. And of course, I would never say anything because, you know, I'm like the good little guest star. Yeah. So I'm like running around going, can anyone find me a fucking space heater?
Oh,
I cannot, like, it's I'm freezing
ice cold,
right now.
Ice cold. And I'm naked.
Like, oh my God. So they would be bringing me space heaters, yeah, like on the DL, oh, you yeah know, while naked. You all are like, oh, it's perfect weather back here. And I'm all like, it's wonderful.
Hypothermia. Yeah. Hypothermia. It's crazy. I mean, it's like, it's so horrible. I picked the wrong career. For
right,
sure.
Drag.
For sure, yeah.
I think drag is the wrong career for so many reasons. Other than just sweating.
It shouldn't be a career, period. Yeah. It's so strange to say, like, drag career anyways.
A career.
Where?
What do you want to be when you
wait,
grow
wait,
up?
Wait, 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 wait. So wait, you know, so what was your worst gig? Your, for any reason, you know, the, like,
my
the least enjoyable
gig?
Yeah, acting gig.
Oh,
nightmare
no
gig.
Such a RuPaul's Drag Race. No, I'm kidding. Actually, that
you're
was
like,
fun.
This theatrical show that's currently on right now called Trixie and Katya Live.
No, that's one of my favorite gigs. Oh my God. I am loving this gig. This is so much fun. I love doing theater. I love doing
you like
live
theater better
theater
than film and
I
TV?
I do. I'm a theater dork. At okay. I mean, like, Inside the Actor's Studio is like porn for me. I mean, I'm one of those
so
people that,
top,
yeah, like get into like the, like I want to discuss the art of acting and like your process and just to hear like all these legendary actors talk about these legendary roles and movies, yeah, and how they, and, you know, and plays, yeah, and stuff. So yeah, I'm like, that's like my full on fantasy. It turns me on.
Can I give you the questionnaire?
Yeah.
Can I, you know, James Lipton does at the end.
Oh, no, I've never done this
You've
before.
Never done it? Okay, then let's
no
do it. Let's do it.
I would say my worst TV gig, though, I'm going to say it. It was Modern Family.
Okay, why?
A lot of reasons.
There are
a lot of reasons.
Okay, okay.
A lot of reasons.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, it was not a pleasant gig. It was
damn
not a pleasant gig at all.
Oh,
I wanted it to be, and I had, you know, and I'd been called in for that show like 16,000 times over the last 40 years or something. Of course, I'm exaggerating. I'm not
yes
that old, but
yes,
yeah, it's. But yeah, it was weird.
Oh.
It was weird energy, girl.
Oh,
I'm like,
that's not good.
That's Sophia Vergara.
Vergara, yeah.
Weird energy, but yeah.
Okay, let me see. Okay, so this is. We have to. We're gonna wrap up soon.
Okay.
So the top. The questions that James Lipton so dramatically asked,
yes,
you know, at the end of the interview. What is your favorite word?
My favorite word. Mm. Serendipity.
Okay. What is your least favorite word?
My least favorite word is... What is my least favorite word? My least favorite word... What, you have to answer these too. What's your
okay
favorite word?
My favorite word is like... I'll say my favorite Russian word is shlucha.
Ew, what's that mean?
Slut. It's just such a strange word.
I love that.
Yeah.
My least favorite word. Probably patriarchy or misogyny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mine is sir.
Sir.
Sir. Like,
yeah,
what? No.
Right.
Don't call me sir.
Sir.
Also, don't call me ma'am either. Sir and ma'am. We got to do away with that.
Yeah, we got to do away
excuse
with
me,
that.
Excuse me, sir. We still say that all the time.
I know.
Like,
my man was
settings
in the Marine Corps.
Ugh.
And he is very big about like, sir, yes, sir.
Sir,
like, yes, sir.
Patrick
like,
Stewart, not like, sir, me. Like,
I know.
I think it's so stupid.
I know. I prefer to be called madam.
Yeah, Madam X.
Madam X.
Madam X is a tennis instructor. What turns you on?
This.
What turns you off?
This.
What sound or noise do you love?
Wait, we need to back up. What sound or noise do you love?
I love like any whoops or like oh, or like any kind of reflexive acknowledgement of a mistake. Like, oops.
Whoopsie-doozy.
Like, yeah, like, whoop. Or like, things like, whoa, or things like that. Like, when people fall, or like, the whole range. I love those.
What an odd thing.
That you just kind of like, you know, whatever. Yeah. And what sound or noise do you hate?
What sound or noise do I hate? I mean.
There's so many.
Children crying on an airplane.
I was going to go with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to with the classic.
Yeah.
Also, electric guitar rehearsal.
I would say violin rehearsal.
Yeah, that has a horrific element, though. Like, that has, like, a... I mean, that is so intense. Electric, there's something so... If you live next to a person who wants to be in a band...
Yeah.
It's a rap.
Have you done that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, it's a couple times, actually. And people who are practicing the guitar...
Yeah.
Especially the electric guitar. I mean, it's just horrible. Or the drums. That's brutal.
Yeah, I think about that a lot because I'm a guitar player, but luckily I play acoustic only usually. Sure. And so I always wonder though, like, you know, if my man's like, oh my God, please stop, Jewel.
Oh yeah. Yeah, who do you think you are? Okay, what is your favorite curse word?
My favorite curse word is shit goddamn motherfuck. Okay. I love a compound curse word. Yeah.
You like a combo.
Yes.
I think I love fuck.
But
I love it's just fuck.
Because it has so many meanings.
So many meanings.
You can be like, fuck.
Or like
fuck.
You're like, fuck.
Like, fuck.
Like, you know, like, ouch, or like, yes, or like, yes. Oh, or like,
fuck.
Did you fuck her?
Did you fuck her?
Did he fuck her, Dolores?
Fuck her. Lick her in the rear, poke her in the front.
And it's just so quick, and it's so zippy.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, most of them are. What is your... Okay, and last one. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I think I want to be a meteorologist. I have no idea why. I'm obsessed with tornadoes.
Oh, yes. Helen Hunt and Twister.
Yes, your I want to be Helen Hunt and Twister. Or Jodie Foster in Contact. I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
It's totally the same thing. Your dead daddy compels you into science.
So can I ask you, are you obsessed with Nell? I mean, because you talk about Jodie and Con. You're not.
No.
Did you not like it? Chickabee, moo, moo, moo.
No,
come on.
No, I mean, a feral Jodie Foster. I'll take Jodie Foster in any situation, you know. But I don't.
Jodie Foster in pajamas with her lover on the couch accepting the Emmy?
I will not accept that. That's where I draw the line.
That's where you draw the line.
I was pissed. First of all, I was like, why are you having an award ceremony on Zoom?
Right.
Like, don't do that.
Right.
Just cancel it.
Cancel.
It's so decadent and so stupid enough. And then when she had the gall to like pretend that there was no chance she was gonna win, and she was like, "But you're nominated.
Right.
If you're nominated, you have to prepare a speech, and then you have to have someone write it, because you're wasting people's time."
Yes.
And like it was just so cringe, and it made me like so upset. Like she just, it was so boring, and she had her lesbian lover on the bed, and I was like, "This is so weird."
I know. She came and saw a musical I was in years ago.
She's
called
incredible,
Dear Bernard.
By the way.
She is amazing.
That was the only bad moment I've ever witnessed, you know, and she's been through quite a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is unlike anybody.
Oh my God.
She's a unique American.
Unique.
And
very
perfect
unique.
French, by the way. She speaks perfect.
I read that actually. Yeah.
I think she went to a French high school or something in LA. She speaks perfect French to the point where she can do, she has done many French interviews in perfect presentation.
Well, she's one of those actors that I like because she talks about the fact that she will literally close contact with all of her friends and family and relatives when she's playing a role.
See, I do the same thing except I'm not acting.
Katya just does it because she's a recluse.
She's so intense.
I do this exactly. Yeah, I mean, you and I are very alike in that
way.
We
haven't
seen
any
like,
roles
reclusive.
That she's played yet, but I'm sure something's coming out soon. And then if heaven exists, what would you like God to say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Ma'am, sir.
Ma'am, sir. Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to say, you are so completely assassinated.
God's going to say, what are you?
That's exactly what's going to happen. You know it is.
Kelly Mantle killed God.
Killed God, honey.
The God
I love
killer.
That. Let me be the one to kill God.
Yeah.
I'll gladly.
I would too. I would gladly support you in that mission. Okay, what would you, anything you'd like to say? And also, don't let me forget, how do people find you online and all that?
How do they find me online?
How do they find you online?
I don't know. How do you find me online? Twitter is The Kelly Mantle.
The Kelly Mantle.
The Kelly Mantle, because some teacher from London has the other one. And Instagram. Kelly Mantle.
And then, are you a TikToker?
I have to join TikTok. Everyone keeps telling me to join TikTok, so I'm going to join TikTok.
Okay, just no nudity or profanity.
No?
No.
Why?
they'll censor you.
Oh.
So you got to
be... Do you do TikTok?
I try. I do it as under the pseudonym Frederica Bemmel, which is a deep cut. That's from Silence of the Lambs.
I know. Yeah. That's amazing.
But I get censored all the time. And for erotic content that's not erotic at all, but...
Well, have you done, like, it puts the lotion in the basket? I mean, is that why you're getting censored?
I don't know. They're haters. But anyways, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, my God. It's so fun to see you. I've missed you these last 3 weeks
too.
That we've been away from each other.
It's a rare delight to have a colleague that you genuinely enjoy all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've yet to find one. Y'all are so amazing. And we're getting ready to go to...
Australia.
I know.
Have you been there?
I never have. This will be my first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's so far away.
I know.
It's so far away.
I hear the flight's like 39 hours.
It takes 3 weeks. Yeah. Well, you lose a day and then you get one back.
Oh.
Do that math for me. How is that possible?
I don't even know how that works.
You lose a day.
You lose a day.
And then you get one back.
I'm sure Trixie will be working both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll be feverishly working both days as she loses and gets back. You and I will be mummies.
Yeah, comatose. Oh, my God. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you, baby.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm.